Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Pitch to him. Fly ball deep right. It's going to win the game. Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness. Christian Yelich. Swing and a miss. He gassed him up. He blew him away. 102 miles an hour. Breaking ball. Hit high. Hit deep. Left center. Bye-bye baseball. The legend of Andrew Vaughn keeps growing. A grand slam. You have got to be kidding me. Flair, shallow center, base hit. Marte's being set. Here's the throw from Perkins. It is going to be in time! Game over! Blake Perkins says goodnight. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that? 12 in a row for the crew. Fly ball, left field, back, and gone again for Yelly. The Brewers lead it 9-8 in a game that should be played in the upside down.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands.
Brewers in action tonight, of course, Game 3 NLCS against the Dodgers in L.A. Still no official word on who will be taking the mound for your Brew Crew, but of course, if we hear so over the next hour or so, we will pass it on to you. Not over, gang. Still a lot of reason to believe in the Brew Crew as they take the series to L.A. I want to get to this interesting story with the Green Bay Packers. The trade deadline is still 2 weeks away, November 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern, Gabe reminds me. And so there are going to be mentions of these players. We talked about how Jeremy Fowler mentioned Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Engabare. And now, of course, there is also a report out there about Dontayvion Wicks and there being interest in him from the New York Giants. Gabe, you were like, well, now that is something I might be, you know, might happen. But beyond that detail, there was an interesting post put out by Christian Watson's father talking about the dynamic of the wide receivers and the play calling and the way that the Packers have chosen to use their weapons, their pass catchers, right? And Dontayvion Wicks liked the post. Now, I didn't read it as being critical of Matt LaFleur. I read it as, this is just the reality. This is just what the wide receivers deal with. This is just how they call plays. This is how they run the offense in Green Bay. But it was interesting that Dontayvion Wicks also saw it similarly, or at least I am assuming that based on his liking of the post from Christian Watson's father,
well,
Gabe.
And it's a little long, but here I feel like putting the context out of what the post was that he reposted on Twitter is worth it. Are you all just dumb or stupid? Because this is just...
That is not how you should start a post. I just want to put that out there. It just puts people on the defense right away,
Gabe. How Christian Watson's dad posts most of the time. Unless you change the play caller, you can bring whatever wide receiver you want to Green Bay, and he will get the same production to catch the ball as the ones who have already been there since A-Rod left. Some of you who are going to be looking stupid as bleep as soon as the Packers decide they're going to let hit free agency. Then they go to teams that actually throw them the damn ball. Then they will go crazy, especially if it's Wicks. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with Matthew Golden. Green Bay doesn't throw the bleeping ball enough for him to do anything. The question is, what is wrong with y'all, having watched this philosophy now for 2 seasons and 4 games, yet still think there's an issue with players when it comes to passing slash receiving volume? So that was the post that he put out there, basically saying, hey, this is the way it is. And if other, you know, again, some of these guys get opportunities, especially someone like Dontayvion Wicks, if they get an opportunity with different teams, they're going to put up the stats that everybody is looking for, is basically what the post said.
He's a moron. God, I never thought he was that big of a moron when he was in training camp for 3 days with us.
Did you get a real good chance to know him? Yeah, get to know him real well?
Not really. He wasn't there long enough. But what is the Packers' offense has to be in the top 10. What do they want? You know? Yeah, play calling at times hasn't been great, but this is not a team that is going to throw the ball 80% of the time. Right?
Chewy, just to answer your question, Packers are eighth in points, ninth in yards.
So they're eighth offensively with a lot of offense to go. What does he want? God, you know what bothers me too is these parents that live vicariously through your kids. Just stay in the background, cheer your kid on, be proud of them, but shut up. Shut up. We don't need this distraction. Their offense is fine. We're probably critical because we think they can be better, but you're in the top 10 five games in. They're going to get better. Jordan Love is playing very good. He's just got to eliminate some of the stupid stuff.
Jordan Love has been very good. Yes, I think we're all in agreement that Jordan Love has played really well. And I mean, some of it is his makeup, and some of it is, like, again, I am resigned to the fact that Jordan Love is going to have some risky throws in every game. But not a lot, but a few. It's going to happen. Like, I'm resigned with, and if it doesn't happen, it's a pleasant surprise for me. And that's fine. That's just sort of the way I'm going to approach all of Jordan Love's performances and all of his games for the Packers. But are you intrigued at all, Gabe, that Dontavian Wicks liked that post by Christian Watson's father? It did compliment him. It was basically saying that if he were to go to another team, like the Giants, which are interested in him, according to reports, that he would probably see his volume increase. He would see his usage increase. He would see his targets increase.
I guess there's no direct, it's just a post saying, hey, this is the way it is in Green Bay. Like, this is in expecting else, something else, which I guess I would be one of those people that he thinks is stupid. Expecting something else is just not realistic, because this is how Matt LaFleur does it, and Matt LaFleur continues to step up to the podium and say, yeah, this is the way we do it here.
But I would also make the argument that you thinking that it should be done differently isn't all that bizarre, because if your blueprint was to go out and just get serviceable wide receivers, yes, I understand the idea of spreading the ball around, but you didn't do that this year.
Nope.
You went out, you took a big swing, and you drafted a wide receiver high in the draft. And for that reason, I guess I'm inclined to think that the blueprint has changed. You know, like, you bring in different variables. Maybe you're not going to just do the same thing that you've always done. I guess that's the position I'm coming from when I think like you.
My thought was, okay, you've been doing this for the last 2 years.
You had
in hopes that somebody would emerge, that somebody would go, hey, I'm worth throwing the ball more to. And nobody's really necessarily done that, right?
Yeah, like, but what team, Gabe, in the league with two of their better receivers out could weather the storm like Green Bay does? This is what they do, okay? They're cautious, right? Because you feed these guys for Watson and Reed, who's out, and you still are in the top 10. I don't think there's another team in this league. If you're losing Justin Jefferson, and I don't even know who their third is there. You lose those two guys, you ain't going to be in the top 10.
No, but I would argue that that's why they're not in the top five.
It's early. It's like early. They're playing without two of their better weapons. Once they get them back and everyone's on the field,
what would change, Chew? What would change with those guys coming back? If all they do is spread the football around, everybody's got to eat. Like, if those two coming back,
you know what I want to see?
Nothing's going to necessarily change.
This is what I want to see, Gabe. I want to see Watson and Golden on the field at the same time with Kraft and maybe Reed. Okay? Because then you have two guys. You have to play it differently with guys that run 4-3s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can't play cover 3 because he's going to pick a side and go, ooh, Baruba.
But how much are those guys going to play together if you've got to get snaps to everybody else? 3 times? You can do that 3-4 times
know.
A game?
And Chewy, you have also been critical about the lack of strategic setup plays within the Matt LaFleur offense, right? Is there any part of you that thinks that if they sort of honed in on a Matthew Golden or honed in on one, that they could do that a little bit more, right? That you're running certain plays that are intended solely and exclusively to set up future home runs.
Yes. And the other thing, I agree. And I haven't seen a lot of boots this year.
Yeah.
Right? There haven't been a lot of boots. And, you know, and I think you should run more screens. How we did it back in the day is to constantly change personnel. So that defensive coordinator on the other side is uncomfortable, right? 4 wides, regular personnel. 3 wides, 1 tight end. 2 tight ends, 2 receivers, 1 back. And just constantly, because that guy's got to be, all right, nickel, dime, Let's go base, bigs, and it's just another way to distract them. And they have enough guys. They're not great players. Not great players yet. But they're very good. It's kind of like what we had. We had one great player on offense.
You undersell.
We had one.
You undersell the great players you guys had on that offense, and I am sick of it. I am sick of yourself. I'm sick of you underselling yourself. I'm sick of you underselling Free, underselling Robert, underselling Keith. You had a lot of really good talent. Terry Mickens wasn't on the same level as the top two guys that I just mentioned. Jeff Thomason wasn't on the same level as you.
No, but I think they got good guys. Once you get Reed back and Watson, and Watson got better last year. I don't know how he's going to respond from the ACL, but he was getting better. Reed's kind of a gadget kind of guy, but then you get Golden comfortable, and Dobbs is just your kind of possession receiver.
Free led the league in receiving in 1998.
Fair.
1,400 yards in 1998.
I just think it's way too critical, and you can't. I mean, yeah. Look, Holmgren didn't have it all the time. He didn't have it, and when he didn't have it, he'd pass it to Sherm. I can't tell you how many times the play called in the huddle, and we'd be like, what the fart was that? Like, Brett, check out of it. Okay.
How many coaches do you think, because when you told us that, I can't remember the first time you told us that, but it was relatively recent, that Holmgren, if he felt like he didn't have it, would pass it off to Sherman Lewis. And that was the first time I had heard anybody say that, Chew.
Yeah.
And you guys obviously were extensively covered in the 90s. How many coaches do you think nowadays
do that
and would have their ego in check to do that?
I don't think a lot, you know? I mean, the only one I can think of, and I totally disagree with it at the time, was when McCarthy gave up the play calling.
But he did it very publicly. And that was a permanent thing. Like Holmgren passing it off to Sherm for a couple of series or a half or whatever he did.
Yeah.
Like, clearly the next game, everybody understood, I'm assuming, that Holmgren was going to be calling the plays the next game. Like, I just don't have it today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sherm. But whoever you're playing the next week, Holmgren is going to go back to calling the plays.
Absolutely.
And that's not and that's not what McCarthy did. McCarthy just gave up the play calling completely.
Gabe, it's kind of like golf. How do you go from shooting a 74 one day and the next day you play again and you shoot an 88? How the hell does that happen? You don't always have it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to happen this quickly. It's got to happen like that.
Here's what I want to nail down before we move on here, guys. Do you interpret Dontayvion Wicks liking the post as him being frustrated with or having issue with the way that the offense is being run?
No, I do not.
I think Wicks knows he's gone.
Yeah.
He knows he's gone.
In
so
2 years?
Can do that.
Yeah. Either he gets traded within the next 2 years or in 2 years, he's going to be one of the odd men out. He's not getting a contract extension in Green Bay.
Aren't receivers just always upset with how much they're being used unless they're getting 15 targets a game?
Sometimes even then.
But and we have talked on this program about when we praise Matt LaFleur and we say coach of the year, we have talked about how managing the egos of a wide receiver room and getting everybody to buy into this plan, this dynamic of we're going to spread the ball around. There's not going to be one guy who is featured in this offense. That in and of itself deserves praise. That in and of itself, being able to manage that, deserves accolades, a feather in his cap.
To be quite frank, I don't know if I'm all that interested in a wide receiver who isn't upset about how many targets he's getting.
Yeah, but you know what it all translates to, Joshy? Translates to dollars. That's it.
Yeah,
of course. Everyone wants to get paid.
They want to get paid.
Everyone wants to get paid, so if they feel they're getting snubbed, then you do things like that. Then you like it, you know?
But
that's what I'm wondering. Again, I'm not being critical of Dontayvion Wicks if he feels this way. I just wanted to know how you were interpreting him liking the message that was put out there. Because my gut says that, yes, he would prefer, like the wide receivers that you are referencing, Joshy, the prototypical, the standard narrative surrounding that position, to be getting the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a part of him that probably is like, but we're winning football games, right? And to your point, Chu, we are a top 10 offense in the league. And so you go through that, you know, wrestling, you go through that conflict of conscience and you go, yeah, maybe whenever I go, wherever I'm going to go, it'll be different. But it is what it is, if you will.
Yeah, I think that, and again, players are smart, Chu. He looks around the room and he goes, Well, right now, in terms of snaps, I'm behind Rome. I'm behind Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now Christian Watson, he's back practicing, probably behind him.
Yeah.
I don't play the slot, so whenever Jaden Reed gets healthy, probably behind him. He's probably looking around going, yeah, my opportunities here are limited.
Like, if you got in a room with him, Jen, and you asked him, do you want to be traded, I guarantee he would say, yes, please trade me. Please trade me.
Because that's a trade would be him being featured in an offense, potentially.
Correct.
Again, we're talking about the Giants here as far as the team that is reportedly interested in him.
Their wide receivers are
to
not good.
Which translates
to dollars. Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Top 8 at 8 coming up next. But first, guys, we've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects. And listen, we've had them out at our house a number of times. I've told you about how they helped us with the woodpecker holes in our siding. I told you how they helped us with our balcony that was leaking water into our kitchen. And, of course, they remodeled our entire basement. The PCI team can also be here for you and your family. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. They've been in business for more than 20 years, and you know you don't stick around unless you're dang good at what you're doing. PCI is hiring experienced carpenters as well. You can learn more about those opportunities or see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to
Ernie,
do it. And I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so it's,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's on the second floor. It is the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails. It's Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with breakfast there, maybe catch a lunch, or linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. Flavors and drinks for every mood. The perfect place to gather is the studio now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Turkey.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got today, Gabe?
Got a list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. So since 2018, the Brewers have made the playoffs 7 out of those 8 seasons. Many people have called it the golden era of Brewers baseball, seeing as how really they only made the postseason four times previous to this current run. So what I am looking at is, since 2018, 8 times has a Brewers player hit 2 home runs in a single postseason. Name those 8 instances.
Good golly.
So I will tell you this, that there is one player who is on here twice. So just because you guess one player, you're going to have to guess that player for a second time to get all 8 instances.
Can you just say what it is one more time?
Since 2018, 8 times has a Brewers player hit 2 or more home runs in a postseason. You got to name those 8 times.
Well, I guess Christian Yelich, I guess, is a guess.
So Christian Yelich did it in 2018, hit 2 home runs in that postseason.
LeBron.
It's not on the
2018.
List.
2018. Was he on the team?
He was on the team in 2018, but he did not hit 2 home runs in that postseason.
All right, I got one more.
Mulligan.
Yeah. Churio.
Thank you.
Jackson Churio in 2024 has hit 2 home runs.
In 2024? Is that what you said?
I did.
Are your headsets working or no?
I'm kidding.
Typically they don't, especially during this segment.
Yeah, well, I mean, should I guess Jackson Churio again?
Is it defined as hitting it in one postseason?
Correct. So multiple home runs in one postseason.
All right, all the series count.
Didn't he hit two this year or no?
I'm starting to doubt myself now.
Well, no, we hit the one. Carry the one.
I saw the one. I was right there.
That's true. Okay, stop. Hold on. Think. God, this is annoying. Who else would have hit home runs since 2018 in the postseason?
I know.
You don't know.
Yep.
Gabe has now resorted to singing the theme song. Oh, man. I am not. This is not. I knew this was. As soon as he said it, I knew this was going to be rough.
Were you concussed last night?
Not if you've been watching the playoffs.
Yep.
All right, I need an answer.
You want my guy, Gabe, my guy.
Who's
your
guy?
Who's your guy?
My guy.
Yasmani Grandal.
All right, I didn't like your reaction there, so
no,
I'm not going to guess.
No, Yasmani Grandal played one game with the Brewers in the postseason 2019.
I didn't guess him officially.
All right, let's go. I think we should just go. We should just say Churio for 2025. He said 2024. He was very specific about 2024.
Yep.
Jackson Churio.
Has hit two home runs this postseason, yes. So Jackson Churio is the player that is on there twice.
You're welcome.
Hit two in the same game last year and now has two in this postseason. He is the one player on there twice.
Let's go with Moose.
Moose is not on the list.
All right, I'm out.
Okay. I don't know how many times Chewy gets to guess incorrectly before he's gone.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's another one in 2025, Jen.
I'm just trying to look up rosters, man. I'm just trying to look up, like, 2019
I honestly
roster,
thought we would just fly
roster.
Through a couple of these, and then we would get to the point where everybody's struggling.
800-990-3776.
Yeah, let's just line them up. 800-990-3776.
But yes, it would be a good idea to go ahead and get people lined up. What was Fielder's last year on the team, Josh?
No.
What in the world?
It was 2011.
Yes. Did you get hit in the nose last night?
No.
Ben, you might have been.
Prince Fielder? Try Robin Yount.
Were you in the stadium?
What was Paul Molitor's last year with the Brewers? Yeah.
You went to
either first base or center fielder.
It's either a first baseman or a center fielder. That's your guess?
No, from Josh, he said 2025. There's another one.
Yeah, so that's got to be Contreras, right? Right, yes. Yes, Contreras.
William Contreras has hit two home runs this postseason.
All right, good job.
Dear Lord, people. You guessed Prince. You wanted to guess Prince Fielder
before
William Contreras.
Just didn't know when he was on the team last. That's all.
How many do we have?
Four.
That's
painfully.
That's not bad.
800-990-3776.
We are looking for, since 2018, the players who have hit multiple home runs in the same postseason for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Joshy, yes, I just thought of that. And since I'm still in, should I guess it?
You can.
Andrew Vaughn.
Andrew Vaughn has hit two home runs this postseason. Again, Prince Fielder, a name brought up before, Andrew Vaughn,
yeah.
Who's again, hit two, last I checked, pretty big dingers
I'm
for this team.
I'm just trying to think of when he was on the team last.
Oh, sure.
Did Prince Fielder hit multiple home runs in the postseason? I feel like he did.
He did. He did. Yeah. But it was a long time
ago. Did he have
ago.
Like a it's like three or four in
so
one postseason?
So he is tied for the most home runs in franchise history with four.
Ooh, good for him.
Prince does.
I got to be honest with you guys. I think we're out.
You think?
I got one more.
You had to limp across to get the guys who did it this year. Expecting you to guess guys that did it in past seasons?
No, you shouldn't. But how many did Chewy get right?
I got three.
He got nothing.
Thank you.
He got
what
absolutely
are you talking
nothing.
About?
I feel like
although he did point you in the right direction for Jackson.
I feel like I'm taking the brunt of the criticism here. Meanwhile, Chewy, you're
both
you
culpable.
You got none.
He's just sitting
you
there
got
giggling.
Attended
Zero.
Games in which some of these home runs have been hit.
True. I have attended games.
He was sleeping while that happened.
Yeah. And we're making excuses for that, I see. 800-990-3776. We got Brent in Schaumburg up first. All right,
Brent. Alrighty. I may have been cut off for a second. Andrew Vaughn.
So Andrew Vaughn, Jen, somehow, again, took about 10 hours, but did Vaughn was correctly guessed. So I'll reset the list for you just so we're all clear. We're looking for the eight times a player has hit multiple home runs in a Brewers postseason. Jackson Churio did it twice. He's been correctly identified. William Contreras did it this year. Andrew Vaughn did it this year. And Jen guessed Christian Yelich. So we just have three names left on the list.
All right, what about Jesus Aguilar?
Jesus Aguilar hit a couple of dingers for the team back in 2018. He is on the list.
All right, and then what about Travis Shaw?
Travis Shaw did not hit multiple home runs for the Brewers since 2018 in a single postseason.
I got another one.
I mean,
doubt it very much.
I mean, I think you have a name. I don't know if that name is correct.
John in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
About Rowdy Tellez.
Rowdy Tellez hit two dingers in 2021.
Guess.
He is on the list, leaving us just with one more name on the list.
Garrett Mitchell.
Garrett Mitchell just hit the one last year.
800-990-3776.
I will say this player holds the franchise record for most home runs in a single postseason with 3.
I got him.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Yep. This is a deep cut.
No,
yeah, his name
has
been on the screen throughout this postseason.
All right, Chewy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on mute and I want you to say the name.
Okay.
Go ahead and say it on the air.
So it's wrong.
Well, you followed that logic, did you?
I said Eric Thames.
No. Although he did rip off his
shirt. Yeah, I was close.
He ripped off his shirt the other night before the game. Which, Brian Anderson, watching that game on the telecast, I don't know how he stayed professional. They're like going through the lineups, and very clearly on the Jumbotron, you just see Eric Thames just ripping off his shirt and going beast mode, and they didn't
like
even
the
mention
Hulk.
It. Yeah,
I was so
like
close I could see the buttons popping off as he ripped it.
It was electric.
Andy weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line this morning. This is a yell at the radio kind of morning. I'm sorry about that, Andy. Chewy is going to apologize any moment.
I think
Randy
it's more you than
in
me.
A dump truck.
he just backed over you with that dump truck.
What in the world? You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list? Just one guess, one answer remaining.
Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun is incorrect.
800-990-3776. Tucker in Wausau, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, he hit one against Colorado and then the Dodgers, Orlando Arcia.
Orlando Arcia hit 3 home runs in that postseason.
Nice.
3 home runs in that postseason. He is tops on the list. Yes, yes, I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
Tip of the tongue.
Again, I was reading your lips as you were guessing over there, and I was like, he doesn't have it. That's all right. Good list by you, Gabe. That was very good. And yes, amongst all of the frustration, and again, that varying degrees, of course, about the Brewers being down 0-2, there have been electric moments, to your point, about like these home runs. Jake Bowers had the home run. Who was the other guy? I feel like there's one other home run I'm forgetting from this postseason. You said the Contreras.
Contreras, Vaughn, Jack's gone twice, deep a couple of times.
Durbin?
No. Oh, it's Terang.
Terang had the insurance one. Mm-hmm.
Who starts in left, Gabe?
I'm guessing they roll with Bowers because he still put together some pretty quality at-bats, and you got a righty on the mound.
Yeah.
It's a bigger outfield. You got a lot of room to cover out there, but I think you need to put together the best offensive lineup that you can, which is why I haven't seen this anywhere. I'm wondering if Monasterio gets his first start at short just to try to do something with the offense. As good as Joey Ortiz has been, and he's a tremendous defender, I wonder if they go, hey, we're willing to sacrifice and try to get a couple of at-bats for Mona, and then we can always put Joey in late when we need those defensive. Same thing with Bowers. We've got plenty of defenders on the bench. We can put those guys in late, but early in the game against that righty, against Tyler Glasnow, who's been so good, I wonder if they continue to try to put out their best offensive lineup they possibly can, which would include no Joey Ortiz tonight. But again, that's just a wild guess on my point. I haven't seen it anywhere. So I have no idea.
Just out of curiosity, Chu, what is better, the Brewers' performance thus far in the NLCS or yours and my performance this morning on Top 8 at 8?
Sadly, you guys crushing.
You think? Did I go over?
I don't think it's particularly close, and it's you guys.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like, Chewy, you said you went over. The Brewers have gone over.
Yeah, but at least I'm taking three pitches and striking out.
Yeah, I feel
like. Jen is like, oh, my God, get in the box and hit, for crying out loud.
Couple pitch clock violations.
Yeah, took a timeout.
Three guesses correct. What in the world type of curve are you grading on?
I mean, it took some kicks in the rear, but.
Yeah.
Little.
Hey, you saw this one.
Richie Sexton ever play in the playoffs?
Weren't you there?
What about John Jaha?
I didn't even drink at any of the games either, so you know it's bad. At least I could have an excuse if I was like, I threw back a couple of pops, you know?
One of the great things about American Family Field is X-Golf inside AmFam Field. And again, right now, today, it's open. Good place to go check out and just see the beautiful view that it has of the field. But it is open year-round. And if you are going to be hosting a holiday party this winter, there's no better place than do it than X-Golf inside of American Family Field, a unique space unlike any other in Milwaukee. Of course, has the 7 state-of-the-art simulators, so you can do that, play some fun games with everybody in the office. They'll set all of those up for you, but it's also just a great space to go with great food options. They've got a couple of full bars there as well. It is a unique space, and if you haven't seen it, go on an off day. Go on a Brewers off day. Check out X-Golf inside American Family Field or book a tee time today, xgolfamfamfield.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point,
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Did you know Great Midwest Bank is celebrating 90 years of serving southeastern Wisconsin homeowners? That's right, 1935 to 2025, a long history of helping families right here in our community. I've experienced it myself, not just with my mortgage, but with everyday banking. Checking, savings, 24/7 mobile banking, all so convenient, but still comes with that personal touch from real people who understand your real needs. That's why I trust Great Midwest Bank. Find a location at greatmidwestbank.com. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender and a member FDIC. As you take a spin around the NFL and see some of the stories that are dominating the headlines, we've talked a little bit this morning about the trade deadline being just a few weeks away. An interesting story coming out of the Detroit Lions camp. If you watched the game this weekend, you probably saw, and I know some of you guys did, obviously, it was the Lions versus the Chiefs, so a big game. Jared Goff had a touchdown pass caught from, I think it was David Montgomery, on a 4th-and-goal trick play, and the play was called back because Goff never got set before going in motion. But the uniqueness of this play, guys, was that it was not called back by one of the officials on the field, by one of the referees at the game. No, no, no. According to Dan Campbell, this was overturned by the big eye in the sky, overturned from New York. Take a listen to Dan Campbell.
I want to ask you one, and I want to go back to it. I don't want to harp on, just like we had talked about earlier, but when we asked you, you know, did that call come from New York about overturning the Goff touchdown, are you guys inquiring as to why you were told that, or inquiring as to what happened in that situation, why they went back a minute and a half later and threw the flag?
Yeah, we asked on all of that. We asked on all of it, and I can't tell you any of that.
But it was an official that told you it came from New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, Dan Campbell being very cautious with his words, I assume concerned about a potential fine by the league if he says something that he shouldn't about the officiating. Gabe, what was your reaction to not only the assertion that a call came from New York, but then Dan Campbell kind of couching his and maybe not being as forthcoming as he was earlier about, hey, that was a call that was the official told me that came from New York?
Yeah, it's a situation where we've had this conversation before with the Sky Judge. We know the Sky Judge exists, and we know there have been times where the officials, after further discussion, Well, I guess technically that's true, but not discussion amongst each other. Discussion with somebody in New York who happened to watch this replay. Here's what we're going to go with on the field. The problem here is the lack of transparency of when this is being used and when it is not being used. Because the problem here for me is there was no flag initially thrown on the play. And it wasn't one of those situations where the officials get together the way they do sometimes with intentional grounding of, hey, was he out of the pocket? Okay, was a receiver in the area? And they kind of discuss that. And then after that, you can clearly see them discussing on the broadcast that they throw the flag and end up calling intentional grounding. This was not that. It was a touchdown that was scored, and then a minute and a half later, they decide, nope, not going to stand because Goff has to become set because he started under center. Nobody called that on the field. And the fact that an official told Dan Campbell that it came from New York is troubling to me because, yes, this is ultimately an entertainment product, but you want to have as competitively fair game as you possibly can. And if New York is getting involved on this call, how come they're not getting involved on every call? That's, and not knowing when the sky judge is or isn't involved, I think that's a problem. I think operating in cloak and dagger when somebody else who isn't on the field is calling the penalty, look, if you've got the technology and you want to use it, that's fine. Just let us know when you're using it so everybody can prepare accordingly.
It doesn't bother me. As long as they get the call right, doesn't bother me one bit, you know, because I think that's ultimately what you want is to get it right. So,
well, but then how come you don't use it on every play?
That's
shoot
what
to get
I was
every
just gonna say.
To get
Thank
every play and every call
in
right.
There. That's exactly what
we're
I
talking
well,
about.
Let me ask
we
you
talked
this.
About Micah Parsons. We talked about Micah Parsons this week and how LaFleur is frustrated with how he's getting manhandled.
Why hasn't the New York called in?
Yeah,
back phone. Why haven't they jumped in and been like, "Hey, that was
well,
holding."
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this, and I didn't see the play, but if they got it right, then I don't have a problem with it. Did it happen because all touchdowns are reviewable? Is that why they did it?
All scoring, but again, it didn't come from somebody on the field. It came from New York.
No,
I mean possibly
I
too because they decided to take a quick look at it. But like,
but that might explain it away, Gabe. Let's say he was on the five, gets down to the one. Would they have not reviewed it? Did the only reason New York reviewed it is because every touchdown is reviewable before the extra
all,
point.
Okay, all so then scores are reviewable. That is true. You're not going to review a clear touchdown the way it happened. There was no debate on whether he crossed the line or not. There was nothing for them to look at. The difference here is all plays being reviewable is did he catch it before that he went out of bounds? Did the ball make contact and did it move?
It's not an all aspect of the play
right,
type thing.
Did the guy cross the line in his tush push?
Well, and there was a play on primetime a couple of weeks ago with the Chiefs where they initially threw a flag for offensive pass interference, decided to pick up. How come New York didn't chime in on that?
Right.
Which would have been an obvious offensive pass interference.
Would you guys be complaining if they didn't call it and it was clearly a penalty?
Well, somebody would have. I mean, certainly.
Yeah,
I think that's the other underbelly that we probably have to mention, even though I hate mentioning it, is that with so much money being invested in these games from a gambling standpoint, to your point, Chu, I want them to get it right. But then I want them to get it right all the time.
Yeah, my problem isn't that they got this call right, Chu. It's the process in which they got to get there. Because if you're using this for this specific play, why don't you use it on every play?
It's the parachuting in and the parachuting out. And the now, as a sports fan, if I'm watching a game and my team gets a wrong call, I'm going to wait. Okay, any second now, New York. Where you at, New York? Hey, New York. New York. Hey, New York. Isn't this why you're there, New York? So you can correct or you can sort of oversee the job being done by the officials on the field. And here's the next layer of it. Doesn't this undermine the authority of the officials on the field? Like, if all of a sudden now you're like, at any moment, New York can jump in, and we're using New York colloquially, obviously. We're talking about, as you mentioned, the sky judge, the eye in the sky. Any moment they can just jump in. Now, doesn't it take a little bit, like, hey, I don't need to catch the call. New York will catch the call. You know, I feel like there's a whole bunch of a dynamic thing here that is also at play.
Chewy, what if it was like on an in-breaking route? and the ball's on the 20. In breaking route, guy catches it at the 30. Clearly a push-off. Officials miss it. He races into the end
zone. That's a subjective call, though. That's a the motion, what he did, is not subjective. It's under the rules. It's black and white.
What if he just shucks him and throws him to the ground, and the official doesn't call it? It's still obvious to everyone.
It's still subjective, Gabe.
Okay, then why didn't they get involved in holding, pass interference, all those type things?
But
some offensive pass interference is not subjective. I go back to the call that the Chiefs got, where the guy was more than a yard downfield, and he set a pick, and it's an obvious pick, and they initially threw the flag, and they decided, nope, he was actually within a yard, but then he was at 2 yards because you know what I'm saying? Like that is at 1 yard or 2 yards, that's black and white. Where were you at? They could have overruled that one. They didn't.
I guess it's because it's a pre-snap penalty. I don't have a problem with it that the referees on the field miss.
We're still circling around the truth of the
matter. Okay, how come the elf? Shouldn't the refs parishute in every time they run the tush push and somebody moves early and they don't call it on the field?
Correct. So there's plenty of.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. Yeah,
And the point here is because there are no clear defined rules and reasons, they aren't using it for subjective calls yet. This is the first time they had done what they just did. So this is new territory. This started happening a couple of years ago, and we were all going, wait, where is that change coming from? Why is this call being changed before anyone reviews it? Why aren't the coaches having to use their coach's review? And now we've broken a glass ceiling in terms of where it's allowed.
And there's two other things that we need to mention here as it relates to this situation specifically. One, the referee afterward, guys, contradicted the assertion that New York was involved. The referee said, no, there was no assistance on the play from the replay booth upstairs or the league office in New York, which directly contradicted what Dan Campbell is saying one of the other officials said to him on the field. It's the only reason he even knew that New York might have been involved in making the call. And then two, there is the assertion that the league is dealing with that the Chiefs get preferential treatment. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think it's fair or not, that is a reality, that is a narrative that exists in the NFL. And to your point, Gabe, two of those plays that you mentioned, including this one, were associated with involving the Chiefs. And so there is a little bit of that you just want to make sure everything is above board. You just want to make sure there's transparency. You understand when and who and how and why. And this was the one time where we were like, wait a minute.
And that's the thing, too. If they want to use this for like the procedural stuff that you were just talking about, I'm fine. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Tell us. Tell everybody so everybody knows. Because now, if New York just parachutes in whenever they want.
Hold on. Also,
do you want them to tell you every single time? Because there's clearly times when a ref marks the ball and then resets it, and that's coming from the sky judge.
I'm not
saying they don't have to challenge it and slow the game down to a crawl.
Correct. I'm not saying that I want the ref to turn on his mic and tell me at home. I want to know going into the game when the sky judge
We got to go to break here, but the last thing I'm going to leave you with is the massive bets that came on Jared Goff placing first touchdown, and the potential for their major partners in the gambling world to lose lots of money if he would have scored that first touchdown. That makes it even more suspicious.
We should have been playing the X-Files music underneath that entire segment, guys.
I've turned Chewy off. We got to go to break. We're too late. Do a live read, please.
Gotti's frozen pizza, the cornmeal dusted crust, all natural ingredients. What's not to love? And for just $5.99 at Cendix, you can enjoy pizzeria quality without that pizzeria price. Stock up, turn your kitchen into a pizzeria. On sale, $5.99 through the 21st. If you got a hunger, so again, this is just fantastic. If you're going over to Cendix, get that Connie's frozen pizza. It's different with the cornmeal crust. The crust is fantastic. If you haven't tried it, rush over to Cendix, $5.99 right now in Connie's frozen pizza.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds. It's like. I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you find yourself facing challenges, struggling, needing assistance, BetterHelp can help. They have incredible therapists, 30,000 therapists actually on their ledger. It's the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. What more do you need to know that BetterHelp is actually helping people navigate the challenges of life? Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just call #250 and say the word time out. That's #250 and the keyword time out. And speaking of timeouts, we got to take one. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.